as we begin the new week. Yeah, Monday afternoon, Monday evening, we're watching that storm system carefully. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
I'm Ellis Askew with Alabama News Network. Today, the Montgomery Area Chamber of Commerce held its 10th annual Success Starts Here tour, highlighting the new and expanding Montgomery industries who have invested in record-breaking numbers. The $1 billion in industrial capital investments marks the second largest number ever for Montgomery County, only surpassed by the 2002 original Hyundai announcement. Police say three people are responsible for more than 200 car thefts and break-ins. Calviosis Scott, DeMontez Franklin, and Audley Holmes were originally arrested on December 3rd for theft of property in connection to three stolen vehicles. They have now been charged with an additional 222 total felonies related to the vehicle break-ins and remain in the Montgomery County Jail. Alabama's bicentennial celebrations kick off tonight with a concert at the Capri Theater. Saturday's events include a parade, festival, and concert. For more information, visit Alabama200.org. I'm Ellis Askew for CBS 8 and ABC 32.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. The world is changing. Isn't it time smoking changed too? Vuse Alto is a vapor product offering you a satisfying alternative to cigarettes. Simple to use, surprisingly quiet, and impressively powerful. Our best vapor yet at our best price ever. 99 cents plus tax at participating retailers. 99 cent offer applies to Alto device. Pods sold separately. Underage sale prohibited.
For the right gifts at the right prices, start with Lowe's this holiday season. Because Lowe's has deals throughout the store for the DIYer on your list. Shop now and get your choice of a DeWalt 20-volt max brushless cordless drill for $99. Or a DeWalt 2-pack 20-volt battery, also just $99. For those who want more control of their home, pick up Google Nest Smart Home gifts starting at just $25, including the Google Home Mini. For great gifts at great savings, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 12/18, U.S. only.
Hello, everybody. This is Doug Singleton with Bernie Office Solutions. Since 1963, Bernie has been the Montgomery-grown document technology leader in the River Region. During our 55 years, we have seen a lot of copier companies come and go. That's why we do more than just offer our clients copiers. We offer a diverse portfolio, including document capture and storage, digitizing your paper-based processes, and software to manage costs. Call me on my cell at 201-0199 and ask me about our managed print program where we can cut your printing costs in half. 201-0199.
Hello, I'm Jane Ray, account executive at Blue Water Broadcasting. From our family to yours, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
The House Judiciary Committee approves articles of impeachment against President Trump, sending them to the full House for a vote next week.
This is about facts and the Constitution.
They don't care. Facts be damned.
President Trump mocked Greta Thunberg on Twitter after she was named Time Magazine's Person of the Year.
A dozen retired NFL players are accused of scamming the league out of millions in health care benefits.
Phase one of a trade deal with China is reportedly reached, rolls back tariffs, and cancels a new one set to begin Sunday. China agrees to buy $50 billion in U.S. farm products.
Southwest Airlines will share about $125 million with its employees from its partial settlement with Boeing over damages from the grounding of the 737 MAX.
And the Ravens back-to-back AFC North titles as they have clinched that with their 21-point win, 42-21.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Excuse me. Welcome back, everyone. News on 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Friday, TGIF edition. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Ken. Ken, thank you for being patient.
Hey there, Dano.
How are you, my friend?
I'm well, thanks. That sounds like you and Joey are, as usual.
We have Friday as our favorite day, right, Joey?
Absolutely.
I hear you. Well, we just got back from having a series of Saturdays and Sundays at the beach.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
They're even better. Yeah, I am, too.
Was it tough duty? Weather.
I'm sorry?
Was it tough duty?
It was. It truly was. We got a little bit of work done and a whole lot of loafing.
I like that.
I need to ask you something. Do you think there's a possibility last night that Nadler abruptly recessed his committee? Do you think there's a possibility word came down from Nancy that more than one or two votes might have been getting a little wobbly, if not on his committee, at least within the caucus?
I think it's a possibility, because what happened, the way I left it and saw it go down, is that they had more debate going on, and the Republicans were doing a good job of landing punches in there, and the Democrats were trying to fight it off, but they just kept repeating the same thing over
exactly.
and over and over again. And so I think there's a possibility that end it, vote on it tomorrow, because he could not have said we're going to vote on it right then. Republicans would have gone nuts if that were the case. Now, the Democrats did make up a big lie, a big fib, that was on Morning Joe this morning, saying that it really was the Republicans' fault, because the Republicans wanted to go to the White House Christmas party, and they weren't going to let them, so they were going to make the Democrats stay there until midnight. That's what the Democrats said on Morning Joe this morning.
Well, from the way it looked to me, they the Dems, were reduced to simply rereading what they had scripted and their few little talking points, at least half of which were blatantly false. And I really think, I don't think there was a chance of defeating the motion in the committee, a span of five votes. But I think it would have been very embarrassing to see one or two drop off or have to go to the head or go to the Christmas party or whatever. And I think the looks we were seeing on their faces as they scrambled to get back out the same sheaf of papers they'd used an hour and a half before to make their points, I think those looks may have been because the word they were hearing from back home was that the polls weren't following what their scripted message was.
Yeah, let me tell you something. And watching some of these Democrats on that committee, particularly the judiciary, I think they're half-heartedly there. I think they're going through the motions. I can tell that people are just kind of they're trying to add impact to it, and it's just sitting there. Particularly the black female lady who was former law enforcement,
mm-hmm.
who had one time said, I think we're kind of going the wrong way type thing a while back. She, I just don't think her heart's in it.
Yeah. Well, quickly, do you think that the Republicans in the Senate should try to go in a hurry or drag it out into a full-blown trial?
I think they're going to, and you're going to hear Mitch McConnell talk about this in just a little bit. I think they're going to receive the transmission to the judiciary. Judiciary is going to look at it. They're going to send it up to McConnell. Then McConnell has to vote on it. And he's not just going to dismiss it. I think they're going to listen to arguments, and they'll go, that's enough. But the arguments that are going to include the Republican argument and Republican attorneys, Trump attorneys doing it, versus who are they going to select from the House to do this? Because it normally would come out of the Judiciary Committee. And I can't think of too many of the folks on the Judiciary that can pull this thing off. Now, Adam Schiff wants to be one of them. And Swalwell wants to be one of them. Swalwell will never be one of them because he's so disliked. I think if Nadler and Schiff are the two guys, I think it will be the worst thing that we've ever seen.
Yeah.
I think there are a couple of those members on the, I think they may try to pull a stunt and get the guy, who was the guy's name, that the big donor guy that was sitting next to Nadler, is it?
Burke?
Yeah. I think Burke is who they would want to have doing this.
It would be nice, and I think it's a pipe dream, but it would be nice if we had a had a chief justice strong enough to, and he will be, as I understand it, he'll preside, and I'm sure
he will.
He'll be listening to both sides, but basically, only the procedure and tactics to be used will be in McConnell and Graham's hands, but the actual court-like proceedings, I'm assuming, will be in the Chief Justice's hands. Wouldn't it be nice if you heard both sides and issued a summary judgment and said, I've heard both sides, and there's not a case here on the Democrat side. You haven't cited a statute or a law or a high crime to have been violated. So we're adjourned and don't bring another case like this back to us.
Yeah, well, they can dismiss it. Here's another little caveat here. If you have 51 votes, the Senate will set the rules of how the trial will be conducted. And they can put in there, they can be no hearsay evidence. It actually be factual evidence, which basically takes out 90% of the argument that somebody does. And so I can see it now. You get the guy going up and he's making the argument, and he does hearsay, and the president's legal team says, I object. And
not a fact witness.
Not a fact witness. And then Roberts has to rule on that.
Yeah. Well, I've got a son who says he thinks Roberts is only marginally stronger for our side on a maybe basis than like Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sotomayor. He has not much confidence in Roberts, and based on his past performance, I have to confess I don't either.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about the goat, the camera, and Roberts.
Yeah.
You remember that, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we shall see, I suppose, Dano, in the fullness of time, but I hope it's not too long.
I hope it's not either. Be thinking, you know, mid-January.
That'll be a delayed Christmas present when it comes.
It will be some much-watched TV, and it's all going to be during daylight hours, too.
Yeah, yeah. I think the Dems are in trouble, Dan. I really do.
Oh, I agree. I absolutely agree.
I think they've gone way more than overreaching.
Well, and here, and again, I think Trump is plotting of how to go in and bloody the nose of the Democrats. And he is going to do something that's going to, I mean, the Rudy Giuliani stuff. All of a sudden, throwing that on the table as evidence.
Yeah.
An affidavit from the president of Ukraine.
I have to confess that I think the most cheering comment that I've heard was Mitch McConnell saying that he was going to coordinate completely with the White House.
You're about to hear that. I've got that queued up.
Yay. Yay. I knew I could count on you.
There you go, Ken. Dan and Joey always deliver.
Indeed.
I hear you. I believe you.
You have a great day and a great weekend. Welcome back from the beach.
Thank you much. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Eric. Eric, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show on a Friday.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm good, good. Trying to stay dry. I mean, this weather is like blah, but with nothing we can do with that. But
there you go.
I tell you, over the last couple of weeks, I've watched. I need to be stand corrected. If I ain't mistaken, Adam Schiff is on the Intelligence Committee, correct?
He's the chairman of the Intelligence Committee, correct.
Okay, and then Judiciary is what Nadler's on, right?
Correct.
Well, I know one thing. It was the entire time that Schiff had the hearings, it was the most boring time that, I mean, what chances I did get to watch. I mean, I got so bored over just a few minutes. It was time to change. I mean, but now with Nadler and Collins from Georgia and Jim Jordan, I mean, buddy, I tell you, I was glued because they were not going to be intimidated. I mean, there was a big difference. You could see it in the room. I mean, and But I mean, having been in politics like you have, and especially D.C., I can't understand why Nadler would hold all of them at that 14th hour and at the last minute, as opposed to going ahead and to vote. What was the reasoning behind that? Was it to agitate them?
That's a question. That, you know, some people are saying he was doing it so he could get it in daylight hours on TV. But it was such a nothing, and the news was going to report it tonight anyhow, and the morning shows would have had it this morning. They just kind of reported about it. And I don't know, you know, maybe they were feeling that the hearing was going the wrong way, and they didn't want to lose any more votes. So
maybe
they needed to cut their losses.
That's true, that. But you know, and by the grace of God, and I'm a firm believer in Fox News, because it seems to me like they are fair and balanced. And I did hear, I can't remember what might have been, Brian Kilmeade, I think it was. But anyway, this morning for a little while, he just made mention, they had a live audience. He said, you know, Mitch McConnell is a good, was minority leader, is that what I think he is?
Majority leader.
Okay, majority, I'm sorry. Anyway, he says, look, now's his chance to really get something done. And I'm not up with politics, but, you know, I it's like sometimes that Mitch McConnell, every time that Trump gets momentum, it's like, what's he doing? You know, it's like, you know, it's like sometimes, I mean, not just myself, but people at work, feels like he's not backing the president in certain areas. I mean, maybe it's just me and a couple of guys I work with, but still. You know, do you ever get that vibe? I mean, not like Lindsey Graham. You know good and well whose side he's on, but it's like McConnell is, of course, Lindsey Graham's been there also for years too, but still it's like McConnell's embedded, you know, in the Washington crowd. I mean, it's like, and I feel like Graham is an outsider. You know, he don't, like that guy Collins from Georgia, you know, and the guy from Louisiana, Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this guy here is, I would have loved to have had him on that committee.
On what committee? Because he's on judiciary.
Well, I know, but yesterday with Nadler, you know, I mean, with the other guy. I mean, I know he's, I would have, listen, I want to get in on the Sweet Creek, 617.
You got it, Eric. You're in, buddy.
Thank you, y'all, and I enjoy your show.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate the kind
words.
Thank you, sir. News 23.1, going to a break. Coming back right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
As a business owner, how important is it that the first person your clients meet be exceptional? Do you realize they don't actually meet your employee first? They meet the outside of your building first. What you do on the outside of your building tells a customer a lot about what you do on the inside. When customers drive up to any business, a restaurant, a bank, a hospital, what is the first thing they see besides the building itself? They see the landscaping. If the landscaping is beautifully groomed, aesthetically pleasing, and professionally managed, you're going to instantly gain respect and trust. Property Management Source has proven to be one of the most professional landscape management companies in the area for businesses. For your business to succeed, call PMS 593-3341. They know how important a beautifully landscaped, manicured entrance is to any business. Call Property Management Source, 593-3341. They are your first impression. If it's outdoor, they do it. If you have a pool, you know about needing help with it from time to time. I have found that company for you, Fagan Pool Service. They're a Regal Chemical dealer. They've been in business over 40 years. Regal Chemicals are the very top of the line. This is family-owned, father-son duo. They handle all repairs such as pool liners, pumps, motors, filters, salt generators, leak detection, you name it. American-run by two veterans, so you can trust they know the importance of hard work, dedication, and integrity.
Has your pool lost its fun? We keep you in the swim of things. Call 201-1819, 201-1819, Fagan Pool Service.
What's your biggest investment? More than likely, it's your home. So treat it that way when you hire a painting contractor. With PBS Painting, there are no gimmicks, no $99 specials. Just quality painting and someone who treats your home with the same respect that you do. At PBS Painting, we have been painting for years and look forward to many more years to come. With PBS Painting, the job gets prepped properly, whether it's cleaning, scraping, or priming. We always use quality products, which is a must for a quality paint job. So if you're looking for a painter that doesn't need upfront money and is on the job at all times, then please give me a call. Scott Bowers and PBS Painting, 294-5122. That's PBS Painting, 294-5122. Look at some of our work on Facebook at PBS Painting Montgomery.
Hello, I'm Cheryl Woodward, account executive with Blue Water Broadcasting. From our family to yours, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
This is where we are. Hit this Mitch McConnell on with Hannity last night. Mitch did a good job. He's not normally, does not normally do these things. But I thought it was pretty good. This is going to be stop and go. Listen in.
I think most people don't fully understand. Let's assume for a minute that the House goes forward with this impeachment. And it's over to the Senate. Walk us through how this process works and the options available and what you see happening and how you see this going down.
First, as you've pointed out to your viewers, frequently the Democrats have been wanting to do this for 3 years. The first headline in the Washington Post before the president was inaugurated was they were going to impeach him. Well, they finally got around to it. And we assume we're going to see two articles of impeachment, both of them pretty weak stuff. Coming over to us, and your question is, what happens then? Under the rules of impeachment, the Senate then turns to it, has no option but to turn to it, and it's the sole business until we finish. How we can impact that really is just with 51 votes. The Chief Justice is in the chair. I don't expect the Chief Justice to try to tilt the playing field either way. We'll listen to the opening arguments by the House prosecutors. They will listen to the president's lawyers respond. And then we'll have to make a decision about the way forward. And everything I do during this, I'm coordinating with White House counsel. There will be no difference between the president's position and our position as to how to handle this to the extent that we can. We don't have the kind of ball control on this that a typical issue, for example, comes over for the House. If I don't like it, we don't take it up. We have no choice but to take it up, but we'll be working through this process, hopefully in a fairly short period of time, in total coordination with the White House counsel's office and the people who are representing the president in the well of the Senate.
Okay. So he has already met with the White House legal team, plus some other key committee senators, including Lindsey Graham. So a question would be, and if there's an attorney out there, please call in. When you're doing an opening statement, can you object during an opening statement? And I don't think you can.
I don't believe so.
And so they can basically say whatever they want to on the prosecution side, and then I guess they can say anything they want to on the defense side. And then they can kind of say, okay, we've heard enough. We don't think there's anything there. Here are the rules of the trial. If we do a trial, here are the rules. No hearsay evidence. And then somebody says, I vote to dismiss or ask for a dismissal.
Hmm.
And then Roberts can then say, we'll put that, not make a ruling on it, but say we'll put it to a vote. And if you have 51 votes, it would be dismissed.
Now, Pence cannot participate, I believe.
Pence is not, yeah.
Right. Usually the VP can break a tie, but given the matter's impeachment, there's a bit of a conflict of interest there.
Well, there's a vote to dismiss, which is 51. There's a vote to impeach, which is 67.
Right, right.
And they're not at the 67 landmark. Okay, let's continue on with Mitch McConnell.
I've got to believe that the federal rules for the admission of evidence would apply here with the Chief Justice in charge, and that would mean there would be no hearsay evidence be allowed, and that would probably mean, well, you might have one or two opinion people, fact or experts, but when we watch this process unfold in the House, especially in the Schiff show, everyone was a hearsay or an opinion witness. The one fact witness said, oh, the president said he wants nothing, no quid pro quo. That was the only fact witness that I saw. So that would be Ambassador Sondland. Would that be, in your view, how the federal rules of evidence would apply here?
Well, exactly how we go forward, I'm going to coordinate with the president's lawyers. So there won't be any difference between us on how to do this. You raise the issue of what if you have witnesses. The president's counsel may or may not decide they want to have witnesses. The case is so darn weak coming over from the House. We all know how it's going to end. There's no chance the president's going to be removed from office. My hope is that there won't be a single Republican who votes for either of these articles of impeachment. And, Sean, it wouldn't surprise me if we got one or two Democrats. It looks to me over in the House, the Republicans seem to be solid and the Democrats seem to be divided.
Interesting. So that could be a Joe Manchin. That could be a Doug Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get into another piece is that they're kind of torn because they've got contributors want them to do impeachment. Nancy Pelosi wants them to do impeachment. Who's the biggest contributor on the to the Democrats? She's the money machine there. That's how she got her power. And so they're kind of torn. Their constituents are saying one thing and the money people are saying something else. And so they're getting in kind of trouble with that. Let's go to a break. Dan Marsh Show will be back right after this.
The biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell, afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
This is Sarah.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
Sarah was looking for a job, but wanted to stay local.
That's right.
First, she built a giant satellite, then launched it into space to send a signal transmitting her resume. This did not lend Sarah a job, but it did start a war with the Zarkon Nebula.
I went too far.
Yes, Sarah went too far. But you don't have to go too far to go far. Montgomery area helpwanted.com only posts local jobs, so employers are way more likely to respond to your application and offer you a job. Montgomery area helpwanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Lewis at the Capital Oyster Bar, and I just want to tell you, if you're in business or got an event coming up and want to do some advertising, wisely spent dollars are spent down here at Blue Water Broadcasting. All the guys are nice, easy to work with, and I see results, I guarantee you.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
News. I'm Rich Dennison. The House moves closer to impeaching President Trump for abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. The Judiciary Committee today advancing articles of impeachment on a party-line vote. President Trump reacting to the vote earlier today.
It's a witch hunt. It's a sham. It's a hoax. Nothing was done wrong.
A vote by the full House is expected next week. If the president is impeached by the House, it's unlikely the Republican-controlled Senate would vote to remove him from office. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson addressing the UK after a big win by his Conservative Party in yesterday's election.
They will have an overwhelming mandate from this election to get Brexit done, and we will honour that mandate by January the 31st.
President Trump saying once the UK leaves the European Union, it will allow the US to make its own trade deal with Johnson's government. America is listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Caravita Village, the perfect active, independent senior living community. It's like a cruise that never ends. Schedule your tour today at caravitavillage.com.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. Not a very bright Friday forecast with the threat of showers continuing from time to time today, maybe even a thunderstorm thrown in. High temperature in the upper 50s today. The risk of showers continues tonight before ending in the overnight hours. Low temperature 48. Tomorrow and Sunday, we get a break between storm systems, so it's actually a dry weekend forecast. Temperatures will be in the 60s both days. I think the better of the 2 days will be Sunday because of more sunshine. And then a possible severe weather threat as we begin the new week. Yeah, Monday afternoon, Monday evening, we're watching that storm system carefully. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Buying or building a new home comes with many difficult decisions. The mortgage process shouldn't be one of them. Let CBNS Bank's experienced mortgage lenders make the process easy. Visit a CBNS Bank office or cbsbank.com. All loans subject to credit approval. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hello, this is Jennifer Pestricelli, Director of Sales at Blue Water Broadcasting, wishing you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
We're going to get more Mitch McConnell. But before we do that, Joey Stein has got his hat with the names in it, and he's going to draw out the winner of the Sweet Queen Farm Market Gift Basket.
All right, let's do this thing. And the winner is first-time caller, Chaya.
Chaya, she was the computer person.
Mm-hmm.
I was down at Montgomery Advertising. My dear, you need to call me at 272-9228 so I can hook you up. It's going to be a great weekend for Sweet Creek Farm Market. You are the winner. Let's continue on with Mitch here. He's going to get into more of the happenings and the operation of the trial.
I think you rightly point out this is very weak. I mean, we'll look, for example, at the obstruction issue. So here, the president, like every other past president, has exerted executive privilege. Okay, yeah. They don't like it when there is a dispute between the legislative branch and the executive branch. Well, that would be the role of the judicial branch, which is to resolve the disputes between the other two branches of government. But apparently they're in such a rush to do this that they didn't want to give the courts any time, or perhaps even worse, they feared what the courts would decide.
Yeah, well, this is a thoroughly political exercise. It's not like a courtroom experience. It's a political exercise. They've been trying to do this for 3 years. They finally screwed up their courage to do it. It looks to me like it may be backfiring on them, particularly in swing districts that the Speaker's party managed to win in order to get to the majority. Most of the nervousness I see on this issue with the politicians, since it's a political process, is on the Democratic side.
So you will allow, let's assume it comes over to the Senate. You're obligated to take it up. I think everybody understands that.
Right.
Whoever the House chooses to present their case, they will present their case, however long period of time that takes. There is some dispute, and actually I could probably be persuaded on either side, which for me is a rare thing, Senator. And that would be, okay, a lot of people would like to bring in Adam Schiff, Hunter right. Biden, Joe Biden. I think I'm more inclined to agree with Senator Graham on this. It's tempting, and I do believe that all of those things must be looked into. There are a lot of real questions here, but I don't know if that would be the appropriate forum once you would have the 51 votes at that point to end this, which, again, very weak case. I think it would be smart to do so. Where would your inclination be?
Yeah, again, I'm going to take my cues from the president's lawyers. But, yes, if you know you have the votes, you've listened to the arguments on both sides and believe the case is so slim, so weak, that you have the votes to end it, that might be what the president's lawyers would prefer. And you can certainly make a case for making it shorter rather than longer since it's such a weak case.
I like the fact that Kim brought this up, that he says, I'm working with the White House attorneys, and that's promising to me. Because I don't think having Mitch McConnell on Donald Trump's side working together, I don't think there's anything stronger.
Do you think this public strategizing and speculation, are we going to dismiss it early, or are we going to do it in committee? Do you think some of this is a smokescreen? Just not give, they know what they're going to do?
I think they know exactly what they're going to do.
Yeah, they're just not giving the game away yet. Yeah.
They're not going to tell them what they're going to do. What they're going to do is it's going to get voted on. They're going to meet. They're going to finalize, and then, boom, Mitch McConnell's going to do it. And if you think about it, it's going to put the Democrat prosecution team, depending on who they roll out there, it's going to put them at a little bit of a disadvantage with this. And I'm not sure, I need to do some research on this, does it have to be members of Congress that are doing the prosecution of this? Because I'd love to see Chair Bear up there.
Jerry
portly stuff.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like to say Burke, the guy, the attorney that tore up the Republican attorney, who, by the way, was sitting behind them all of yesterday in the Judiciary Committee meeting. He was there during the entire thing at night. Hmm. Oh, God, that was like watching.
I had to
slam my hand in the door just to get some pain relief out of watching that. Okay, so continue on with Mitch Boy.
Are you confident? So we talked about, for example, the obstruction charge, and the other one would be the abuse of power charge. You've read the phone call. You've watched, I'm sure, a lot of the coverage that has taken place in the House. Do you see any evidence of any wrongdoing whatsoever on the president's part? As you read that transcript, I read it. I read it over and over again. I certainly don't see what we hear Joe Biden bragging about. You're not getting a billion taxpayer dollars unless you fire the prosecutor he knew was investigating his son with zero experience making millions. That didn't happen.
Well, this is a really weak case, and that's why I think you're going to see bipartisan opposition to the articles over in the House.
How long do you think, and we'll move on from here, how long would you imagine after the House presents its case, and that will happen in full?
Well, look, if they do it this next week, Sean, we will be able to get consent to go on for Christmas, so we would turn to it right around the first of the year, and we would stay on it until we finish. And my hope is that it will be a shorter process rather than a lengthy process.
So they could have this done by started in January, first part of January. January 2nd, 3rd. Woohoo!
Happy, happy, joy, joy.
I like that. Now, Mitch McConnell has a book that he just did, which is why he's doing the Hannity interview. And, you know, I don't get too excited about a Mitch McConnell book.
No.
But I do get to say, when I hear Mitch McConnell talking about it and some of the components, he is very much a component guy. And his former chief of staff that now is on Fox, I heard him talk about how Mitch McConnell does things. And he's a very interesting guy in that sense. He knows exactly what he wants. He knows what he can get and what he can't get. He never goes for anything he cannot get. And he only did the vote, the John McCain thumbs down vote, because Donald Trump wanted him to. He wasn't sure. He didn't know if they had the vote, and he didn't like that. But he went ahead and did it because the president wanted it. Let's listen in.
So you have your book.
Yeah.
And look, Donald Trump is a lot of things, and I probably have known him maybe longer than you, well over 20 some odd years. He's a disruptor. He's an iconoclast. He is a fighter. He's also gotten a lot of good things done for the country. Kept a lot of promises with your help on judges, tax cuts. Certainly, he's got the money for the wall, ending burdensome regulation, better trade deals. Baghdadi's dead. The caliphate defeated. What have you learned over this time with the president now, almost 3 years, that maybe you didn't know?
Well, let me tell you what this book is about. This book is about the most long-lasting contribution that Donald Trump and Senate Republicans have made for the country. And that is putting young men and women who are strict constructionists, who believe the job of a judge is to follow the law, on the courts. We did our 50th Circuit Court judge just yesterday. Sean, to put that in perspective, Barack Obama did 55 circuit judges in 8 years. We've done 50 in 3 years, and we have at least a year left for sure. We're going to do more. One-fourth of the circuit judges. Remember, most cases don't make it to the Supreme Court. Most complex litigation never makes it beyond the circuit courts. This has been the most long-lasting, important contribution the president could make well into the future, far beyond his tenure in office. So we'll have a judiciary more inclined not to make it up on the fly. You know, President Obama said he wanted to appoint judges who had empathy. Well, you know, that makes great sense if you're the litigant before the judge for whom the judge has empathy. Not so good if you aren't.
I tell you what, folks, that is it. The impact that Donald Trump has had on the judicial system is absolutely amazing, particularly in the circuit courts. Doing 50 judges in 3 years is absolutely remarkable. It's a little less than 3 years, actually. It's absolutely remarkable. And I think that's one of the reasons Democrats want to impeach him so badly, because not that Pence wouldn't be doing the exact same thing, but he's getting them through, and it pisses them off, to be honest with you. Nothing more, nothing less. Let's listen to this last part. It's kind of interesting. I'm going to start calling Fox the Interrupt Network, but listen to this.
Let's talk about the issue has come up. Let's say somebody were to retire at the end of this year, leading into the summer. You have been very clear, if the president appointed somebody, you would follow through on that nomination.
Absolutely. We definitely would do that. And this paperback that we were just talking about, the president's foreword is about judges. My afterword catches up what's happened during the Trump administration on judges, because my memoir came out 3 years ago, before the president was elected. What we've done here, the president and I together, with this paperback that you've shown on the screen, is to talk about how the Judge Project came about, how it went forward. If you recall, Sean, the most important decision I've made in my entire political career was not to fill the Supreme Court vacancy when Justice Scalia passed away. That was the beginning, and now we've got an exclamation point here after 3 years that we thought the public would be interested in reading about. And that's why the president and I collaborated on this paperback.
I was shocked that former President Obama left so many vacancies and didn't try to fill those positions.
I'll tell you why. I was in charge of the of what we did the last 2 years of the Obama administration.
I will give you full credit for that. And by the way, take a bow. All right, that was a good line. Do you see any possible defections?
I doubt it. There's zero chance. The president obviously would be removed from office, and I'm hoping we'll have no defections at all.
McConnell sounded like the count from Sesame Street. One judge.
Two judge.
That was a good interview. That was a very good interview. Hannity behaved himself. And when he's got somebody of stature, he basically leaves them alone.
Yeah.
And lets them kind of do their thing, and that's the way it should be. Let's see which way we want to go here. Mike Lee, Matt Whitaker, or Molly Hemingway and John Solomon. Listen, boy, our plate is so full here. Let's do Laura with Molly Hemingway and John Solomon. This is Stop and Go.
All right, one moment. Is it open?
La, da, 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 bum, bum, bum.
All right, here we go.
Whose misdeeds that you have documented here in this report, case agents, other members on the Crossfire Hurricane team, are they still, to your knowledge, working at the FBI?
Listen. To my understanding, some are.
Why are they still there? What's your understanding?
I think you'd have to ask Director Ray.
What about the case agent who directly misled the DOJ intelligence attorney, Office of Intelligence Attorney, about Carter Page's relationship with other intelligence agencies in our government, who directly misled the OI about that?
That person is still there.
Take
your breath away? It took mine away when I watched it live. Well, apparently the FBI is just fine with letting rampant political bias run amok in the agency, or at least people with really bad judgment. The person you just heard the inspector general say is still working at the FBI is case agent number one. That's important because the report labels case agent number one as being, quote, primarily responsible for some of the most significant errors and omissions in the FISA applications. So the deep state, the Democrats say it doesn't exist. Well, it's clearly alive and well. Molly Hemingway and John Solomon. Molly, shouldn't we know this person's name?
We absolutely should know this person's name. This person was involved in so many of the wrong actions that were taken, had so much to do with Crossfire Hurricane, had so much to do with the relationship with Stefan Halper. Americans need to know who he is. It's also true that there were so many bad actors here who have left, who have been fired, who resigned. We don't have a thorough accounting of exactly who did everything.
This is where Ray has got to step up to the plate. He's got to step up to the plate. We don't need the first IG report and the way Ray handled that, and he started out like that. Well, he didn't say there was any political bias type thing. He was basically mouthing the words to the Democrats. Me, on a personal basis, number one, if somebody is not arrested and charged and found guilty, and if the FBI does not clean up their act, my confidence, even with Barr there, of the DOJ and FBI will be zero. Absolutely zero. I don't trust them. I have people that talk to FBI agents. I talk to FBI, retired, and they are disgusted by this whole thing. This anomaly that the FBI agents are mad at Trump for this is just wrong. Let me go to a break, and we'll get more right after this.
You're listening to The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Phones, tablets, laptops, and desktops. All completely useless. That is, unless you have internet. Then those blank screens become wondrous rectangles of pure enjoyment. News, sports, games, true crime, memes, cats. Photographs of you, taken by you. Fill all your devices with the good stuff. Super fast internet, no data caps, just $34.99 per month, all from a company you'll love. Sign up today at Huawei.com.
Wow.
Offer for new customers with a 2-year agreement and auto pay. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra. Subject to change. Restrictions apply.
Barry Moore, a true conservative with a proven conservative record. Barry Moore was voted by Yellowhammer News as Alabama's most conservative legislator in 2013. Barry Moore, a veteran who has served his country and has been honored for his support of veterans while serving in the Alabama legislature. Barry Moore, the first elected official in America to endorse candidate Donald Trump for president in 2015. Barry Moore for Congress, a proven conservative, a proven Trump Republican.
I'm Barry Moore, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Barry Moore for Congress, Enterprise, Alabama.
News and talk without the static. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Guys, last segment for the week. 272-9228, just in case you want to get your calls in. Who's the winner?
Cheta.
You got to call me, girl. I want to get you taken care of. You've got 9 minutes because Joey and I will both be departing the building. Okay, let's continue on with Laura and Molly Hemingway and John Solomon. I'm not sure. I need to go check it again, but I tried to go to the Hill and look up for a John Solomon story.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see anything.
Hmm.
I'm wondering if he is strictly with Fox now. I'm going to try that again because I did that last night. Let's listen to the next part here with John.
John Solomon, when I read in that report, I think it was 318, I forget the page number, but when Donald Trump got his first briefing, his intel briefing, August 17th, 2016, and we find out that the FBI portion of this briefing was choreographed, I'm going to say choreographed, by Peter Strzok.
Yep.
Now, he's doing the investigation of the Crossfire Hurricane, but he's also doing the informational briefing outline?
And if you talk to any president...
What?
Yeah, you talk to any president...
It's a setup!
The trust between your briefer and you is very important, right? And here they were using it as an intelligence exploitation effort against the president instead of just informing the future president of what he needed. That was spying. I mean, that's what, now you know why Bill Barr called this spying.
Right. It's not just that they did it. You remember that Senator Grassley specifically asked them years ago, were you doing this?
That's
the
right.
FBI wrote a note back saying, we didn't do that at all. So there's some problems that need to be dealt with how the FBI handled congressional oversight on these issues.
Maybe what they did is they, when you Google John Solomon, you don't see his website. Maybe that's what it is. They just blinded it.
Yeah, you just got to go direct to John Solomon Reports. You should be able to find it.
Because I see it on Wikipedia that he's there. Continue on, my friend. Continue on.
They took notes of Trump's briefing.
Right.
It's very specific notes. They didn't take notes of Hillary's briefing, but they said in the interviews with Horowitz, they said, oh, they were essentially the same. Oh, we'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
And that's as far as Horowitz can go. That's what everyone has to understand. Their answers are basically as far as he can go, unless someone was stupid enough to put in a text message, which most people aren't other than Strzok and Page. Now, one CNN correspondent, a former FBI agent, close friend also of Jim Comey, is worried that Bill Barr's reaction, will have a chilling effect at the FBI.
Hearing from a number of current and former FBI officials who are saying that the concern in the wake of the release of this Inspector General report centers on the current Attorney General's characterization of the FBI's actions. We heard from one FBI official who tells us, and I quote, that we're constantly told to be agile and use all of the legal tools available to us, but who is going to risk sticking their neck out now only to have DOJ chop it off?
Now, Molly, after what the IG reported, that's the concern?
Yes.
That they're not going to be free enough to do this again?
The idea that FBI agents would actually care about their behavior being a bad thing is very interesting. But you notice that the person there used to work at the FBI. In fact, he started working for CNN shortly after CNN got the leak about the dossier meeting, you know, the thing that legitimized the dossier.
Right.
What's so interesting about this Inspector General report is it tells us that that dossier was complete and utter bunk and that the FBI knew that since January 2017.
Yeah.
Think of all the things that happened after that. You know, the leaking to CNN, the starting of a special counsel, the continual getting of wiretaps against Carter Page, and so many other things. But the problem is the media keep hiring these people who were part of this effort, and how are they going to hold these people accountable when it's their actual colleagues?
Interesting. There was a report that John Solomon had left, and he's with Fox now, but the Washington Examiner reported that he would be leaving at the end of October. So that's interesting. I'll have to try that again another way here. Okay, we're going to fit this last one in, big guy.
No, the fox is literally guarding the hen house. That's what happens.
You just saw the hear no evil, see no evil mentality of the current FBI. Today, the FBI went to court and divulged.
Why is Christopher Wray ahead of the FBI?
But just think about this. Today, after all we know, after all the discussion the Inspector General divulged, the FBI came and said, we have no document showing that we communicated to the FISA court any disciplinary action against the people that did all the things we've enumerated.
The FISA court should sanction these attorneys.
Yeah, I think Attorney General Barr is going to have to force it.
Right. CNN's Jeffrey Toobin is a lawyer on CNN. His concern is that Hunter Biden is mentioned during this entire impeachment saga. Watch.
What struck me about this hearing was how Donald Trump, in a way, has already won. How much did we hear about Hunter Biden? Over and over again about Hunter Biden. Oh, it's going to be a real challenge for us as journalists to decide how much to follow along with this. I just don't know what our responsibility is as journalists because it's not the point, but this is the news.
So we can't cover Hunter Biden because it's front and center in impeachment and Republicans are all unified on the issue. Molly.
One gets the feeling they didn't really think this through. This whole impeachment has been very much pushed by people in the media. They thought they could control the narrative, including that they could bring up this issue of Hunter Biden, but not let people talk about it. It's not helpful to Joe Biden. There are real legitimate issues with Hunter Biden, how much money he has made, really the whole Biden family, how they've profited off of their relationship to the former vice president. It's a legitimate issue and people will talk about it.
How important important on impeachment is it that this actually result in witnesses testifying and being crossed?
It's clearly important to the president, right? He wants to show that what he did had a basis for why he had the conversations. Well, I think Mitch McConnell is going to try to look for the fastest way to get this over with and move on. But there's other ways to go. Lindsey Graham separately can have hearings. Hunter Biden is going to be in the microscope for a long time in 2020.
And that part, which is something I mentioned a couple of days ago, is Lindsey Graham doing separate hearings. Basically, much more in control because they're in the majority, and the majority rules in those committee meetings, as you saw, and on the House side of things. And it can get pretty bad for them. Let me try to pick up a couple more here. Matt Whitaker was interesting. Talking about Eric Holder's op-ed that happened. Did y'all do this on your show?
No, I talked about Eric Holder bringing it up, but I didn't play
it. This is crazy. This is absolutely nuts.
Former Attorney General Eric Holder blasting Attorney General, current one right now, Bill Barr, in a brand new op-ed in the Washington Post for his so-called loyalty to President Trump.
Eric Holder claiming that Barr has, quote, taken actions that are so plainly ideological, so nakedly partisan, and so deeply inappropriate, he is unfit to lead the Justice Department.
It wasn't a long time ago when Holder was proclaiming his own loyalty to a certain president named President Obama.
Are you going to stay around for all 4 years?
Well, I don't know. We'll see. Come on, man.
We need you.
I got to ask.
Come on, Mr. Attorney General, please.
I'm happy. I'm still enjoying what I'm doing. There's still work to be done. I'm still a president's wingman, so I'm there with my boy.
Still the president's wingman. Here is reaction is former acting U.S. Attorney General Matt Whitaker. Matt, were you the president's wingman?
That wasn't my role as Attorney General. Obviously, I was the one that bridged the gap between Jeff Sessions and Bill Barr, shook both their hands, one on the way out and one on the way in. And that's not the role of the Attorney General. I read that op-ed, and it struck me as odd, somebody that has criticized Jeff Sessions, myself, and Bill Barr suddenly say just how hard it is to criticize attorney generals. I guess just Republican attorney generals is all he wants to criticize. Because when Loretta Lynch did her tarmac meeting with the Clintons, there was no Eric Holder to be heard from.
We need to save the last one for Monday.
Okay.
Because he basically says, I think that Barack Obama knew. About Crossfire Hurricane.
Right.
Joey, I want to thank you for a great show, buddy.
Good show.
Hey, we made it to Friday again.
I know, yay.
Let's go celebrate. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Guys, be good. Be safe. Be back Monday at 12 o'clock and I keep doing it until I get it right. Greg Budell the Great. He's next. Adios.